Now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us tonight from Hawthorne, the South Bay, and we're going to be talking this evening about congestion dropping kids off at schools.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
Jay, the concern that you have and Operation Core Rescue will deal with drop-offs at middle schools as well as high schools?
Middle schools, high schools, Phil, as well as the elementary grade schools. And obviously we're increasingly concerned about the numbers of women and men, mothers and fathers that are dropping their children off at middle schools, grade schools. There's now a significant congestion problem on our surface streets. Certainly can give you a case in point. We were out at the end of May last year at the conclusion of last year's student calendar at the Glenham Middle School in Garden Grove last May. The numbers of cars dropping children off at schools have reached such a high level that Paso Robles and Victory Boulevards were backed up a quarter of a mile. At Felicitas School in Cahuenga Hills, the numbers of parents dropping their children off there was also at such a high volume, people who lived in the neighborhood had to take alternate streets to negotiate the area. The inability of parents to let go of their, I was talking with a couple of sub-commanders and Major Elvis Newton about it. The inability of a lot of parents to let go of, their precious little babies, even when they're, they're off to school, is causing a safety hazard on our surface streets and could consume, or could cost, I should say, someone their life.
Well, I understand what you mean about the drop-offs, but because I take my daughter to school, my wife and I trade off, but the line going sometimes goes out to the street. But let's face facts. Many homes are further away from schools. Parents are worried about the safety of their kids.
Well, Phil, you need to understand.
No, but they're worried about the safety of their kids in a society that's seems to be increasingly predatory. It seems that when it comes to unguarded youngsters, there's a safety, and there isn't the bus service there once was for kids.
Well, let me take those one at a time. Many homes are further away from school, that's true, but the fact is most homes are within the 5-mile to 4.5-mile radius of the schools attended by children from those homes that's within bicycle riding distance. Citizens Auxiliary Police and other allied volunteer police agencies have determined that a 5-mile radius for some kids is suitable for bicycling, and for some children even walking. Number two, parents being worried about their children's safety. Yes, yeah, it's nice to hear about it when their concern for a child's safety gets in the way of city streets being safe. Then we got a problem. They're congesting the drop-off points of these schools to the point where traffic's being impeded, and soon someone could die as a result. Number three, you talk about bus service. The parents themselves are unwilling to underwrite the bus service that's needed. Otherwise, that would be a great solution. What we do know is most parents would rather drop their kids off and pick them up. Thus, that increased the congestion. We've got a very serious problem. We have to address it now before we have deaths or possibly multiple deaths in streets around the school.
All right, so you're suggesting that kids essentially get back to riding their bicycles.
Well, what we want to do is to determine, okay, fine, if a kid should be driven to school, let's determine that. If a child should ride a bike to school, let's determine that. If a kid should walk, let's determine. In one instance, if a kid should be driven, that's good. But that means another one's going to have to walk. Because what we want to do is get the numbers of these SUVs, and all these minivans, what have you, dropping off the kids. So one kid.
Well, if one kid gets to get dropped off, but another kid has to walk to school or ride a bike, you may be compromising the safety of the child that's walking.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying?
Well, but in law enforcement, you always have to make making tough decisions. One child, one child lives, another child's molested, or what have you. That's at least one less kid getting molested because other kids getting taken to school.
Well, you got to have your facts straight on something like this.
Well, that's why Operation Core Rescue, we began to collect the data that we need, and we will approach vehicles this fall and question them as to where they are located, where they're coming from. If we determine, if the mother tells us that they live within the 5-mile radius, we will at that time then ask the mother to take the child back to home and have that child ride the bike to school. But I can tell you, if we tell them, yeah, we ask them, well, where are you from? They say they're outside the 5-mile radius. They're free to go on their way. If, however, we do ascertain the car comes from closer in and that the child could have ridden this bike to school, we got a little bit of a problem. We got a situation.
All right, I'm talking with Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is a volunteer police agency?
Well, we are a volunteer police agency, yes.
What do you do? Do you have arrest powers?
I was a member of search and rescue, area search and rescue. I also was a member of police reserve. I do have citizen arrest powers in the Constitution. That's addressed me.
Well, I mean, you're telling parents to turn around and take their kid back home and have them ride a bike to school. How do you enforce that?
Well, there are a variety of ways of doing that. You simply tell them, we got a situation. We can do it the easy way or the hard way. We will impede the door from the child getting out of the car. But we don't want to go there. We don't want to get that far. It's not necessary to get that far. You live outside a five-mile radius. You have every right in the world to drive your child. If not, we've got a situation we have to address.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number here in the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. 1-800-449-8686. The question here, as we get closer to the school year, in many instances, Jay, the school year has started.
There are some private schools that have begun. Some of the public schools have started. Most schools won't begin in earnest until next week. That's correct.
And the parents that are driving their kids to school are driving their children to school in such volume that we now have highly congested drop-off points at schools, which I understand. I've experienced that.
Well, that's why I wonder why you would ask me the questions you're asking. Yeah, it's one of the reasons. I don't want to inject politics into this, but this is just personally, just speaking for me, is one of the reasons I get a little scared, I think, about this guy Kerry getting elected, because...
Why? What's he got to do with dropping off kids at school?
Well, I just think that Kerry represents kind of a touchy-feely way of doing things, that we need to toughen up a little bit. We need children who need to ride a bike to school, a child ride a bike to school. Children can walk to school and walk to school.
Well, you said something that disturbed me, though. You said one child may get molested while...
No, I'm simply saying, Phil, there's some kids that don't need to be driven to school. They can easily ride a bike to school.
And what if the safety of that child is compromised?
Again, when you work in the front lines of law enforcement, as I have, a long time what I have, compromises need to be made.
If you're talking about my kid being the one who gets to be molested while some other kid gets to be, I'm going to be upset.
Well, again, this is a touchy-feely world we live. So again, I don't want to inject politics in it. This guy Kerry scares me. You get these touchy-feely parents. I'm not saying your kid's going to get molested, but I am saying if your child very tragically and deeply gets molested, there's another kid that didn't. So we've saved one kid from getting fondled. And yes, another kid maybe. But I ask you to...
That's one kid too many.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to, you're keeping down the numbers of cars dropping kids off at school. Because...
Well, how many people do you think are going to die out on the streets of America this coming school year with all these touchy-feely parents dropping little precious little kids off at school, jamming up the traffic to the point where you got people gridlocking through an intersection, and someone who doesn't see a light, someone who's on an older person, Alzheimer's, or on medication, or what have you, they go barreling through a red light right on into a long line of SUVs that have gridlocked the intersection. I tell you right now, mister, you've got some dead children on your hands. That wasn't done by no molester or no fondler or nothing. That was done by an old lady on medication. Because she's barreling through a stop section, or through an intersection, I should say, or on through a stop sign, if you will, barreling on about 80 miles an hour because she's got the Alzheimer's. She goes right on into the side of an SUV. She's taking out 2-3 kids without even putting her lipstick on. To me, that's just as bad.
The safety problem that you say is presented by the numbers of parents dropping children off at grade schools is the result of cars backing out into traffic and jamming up the streets and so on, and also blocking intersections. Can't that also be solved by perhaps... extra police?
Well, now you're talking about spending money on extra police being out there and directing traffic. I mean, again, what we're trying to do is get away from the liberal solution, which is to throw money at everything. I'm saying good law enforcement can solve the problem.
All right, so you're approaching these SUVs and these minivans this coming fall, asking the mothers inside, where do you live?
We ask them simply, where do you live? When they give us the address, we determine whether it's within or outside the five-mile radius. If it's outside the five-mile radius, you're free to go on your way. If it's within the five-mile radius, we then do very respectfully ask that the child do not exit the vehicle, that you take the vehicle back to your home, and that the child either ride a bicycle, walk to school, or in some other way, shape, or form, take a transportation that's not going to gridlock the area.
And now if people refuse you because you are not a police agency with...
Well, I don't want to get there, Phil. If you see people refuse me, I don't want to go there. Like I said, Citizens Auxiliary Police has two main slogans. We're here to save lives, and there's an easy way and a hard way. You want to go the easy way? You have, you know, you can be on your way. You want to go the hard way? We got a situation.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't see how he's going to enforce this, but in any event, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police this fall, along with other members of his group, will be asking mothers and fathers dropping their children off at school, where do you live? If you live outside the 5-mile radius that they've determined is safe for bicycle riding or walking, then you're fine. You can drop your kid off. If you live within that 5-mile radius, you're asked to go back to your house, park the car, and have the child either walk or ride the bike to school. The safety of the child walking by himself or riding his bicycle may be compromised, but the gridlock and the traffic jams caused by the congestion of school drop-off is also compromising people's lives. So say Mr. Santos and his ilk. 1-800-449-8686. I still don't know where he gets the right to stop somebody from getting out of their car. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on school drop-off this fall. Yeah, the congestion at schools has gotten very, very serious with regard to school drop-off. You often see the cars lined up around the block.
That time goes on because down near the Cheney schools, the dual Cheney schools in Alma Park, you got traffic that is lined up outside. I said to a lady the other day, I said, are you jeopardizing the lives of the people in the neighborhood with your traffic jam just so your sweet little girl can get dropped off? She says, you know, I won't repeat what she said because we take a lot of abuse. But she basically was saying, my daughter's safety is very important to me. I said, that's fine. Well, your daughter's safety is important to you. Another kid who's perhaps riding his bicycle in the area or walking gets decapitated or what have you from a speeding vehicle. And the reason why I'm dramatic...
Why would you say decapitated?
Well, the reason why I'm being dramatic, Phil, is it happened. It happened to a young man who I knew very well when I was young, a very good friend of mine by the name of Herb Schaefer. And the choice was riding to school with my mother or riding his bike. And he decided that he wanted to ride his bike. And he was hit, and tragically he was decapitated. But it saved my life. And that's what I'm trying to say. For every kid that lives, yes, one kid may get decapitated or what have you.
Well, I don't know if you made a very good point there or not, Jay.
But you have to understand it from law enforcement.
Well, I don't understand it then. 1-800-449-8686. Nancy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Nancy?
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, ma'am, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand where this guy is coming from, what kind of information he's getting, or does the real police, are they backing him up on this? Because
that's my point. That's a very good question.
If you did pull a car over and you send a kid home and he comes and rides his bike or walks and is hit and killed, is your group or the police or the city going to assume liability because you made that decision for that parent?
Well, no, of course not. It's totally legal to operate a bicycle on
Let me answer your question. You are jumping in and you're telling the parent what they should be doing.
But there's a life. There are lives that are going to be traded in the short term. I grant you that.
Mad because you can't get up and down the street really fast in the morning?
Well, no, that's not the case. You know, if you drop children off, no, man, that's not the case at all. yeah. I guess maybe you think you're being funny, but I can tell you.
The lady's making a good point there. What exactly?
There's congestion, Phil, that is gridlocking intersections. You got a gridlock intersection. You got some old lady on Alzheimer's medication.
Oh my God! You need to move out of California because I'm right now on the freeway and it's gridlocked.
Okay.
And I'm on the roads and it's gridlocked.
Are there bicycles on the freeway?
Everywhere.
Yeah, there's some gridlocks necessary. The gridlock that I'm talking about, dropping off the precious little babies at school.
They are precious. They're our biggest gift to the world, sir.
Ma'am,
our responsibility as parents is they get to and from school safely.
Ma'am,
I used to ride a bike to school.
I used to ride a bike to school, and I never got fondled or touched. I don't
know
about you.
Guess what? That was back in the day, man.
Back in the day? They had perverts
back then. There were pedophiles on the street.
I tell you right now.
People on drugs.
They had pervs out there, just as many perverts as they did.
You know what?
Hey, I hitchhiked to school when I was a high schooler, and I had a guy try to touch me.
I had a guy try to touch me. You are nuts. And I don't believe that the school or the real policemen are going to back you up on this.
That's the question. What do the real police think?
You know, the real police are involved in... Let's face it, the police are letting a lot of things slip through the cracks. All we're trying to do is kind of beef up the things that they're not doing right.
I think you slipped through the cracks, okay?
Yeah,
and I
laugh.
Think if you know what? If you would have passed the psych evaluation, you would have been a policeman.
Ma'am, I can tell you this right now. You, first of all, don't know anything about being a police officer, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Number two, I do. My dad was a policeman. Hello?
Number two, I didn't read it in the New York Times, so how was I supposed to know that? Number two...
all right, what are we saying here?
Well, this lady said that there weren't any perverts back in the day. I hitchhiked to high school when I was a young man, and a pervert picked me up and tried to touch me. Okay, so don't tell me.
Well,
you're saying there were no pervs back then. There are plenty of pervs, and they're all around now.
Yeah, you know, you're the perfect example, by your own admission, of why parents drive their children to school.
By my own admission, I'm trying to save lives, ma'am, while you're trying to take lives.
You're not saving any lives. You are jeopardizing lives by putting children in harm's way.
And you want to sit there with your foot on the brake, and if it slips off the brake while you're waiting in line at school, and a kid walks between your car and another car where you're waiting in line, and your foot slips off the brake, you squish the kid. How do you feel about that?
Most schools have parents have...
There's pervs everywhere. Perv everywhere. Today, yesterday, don't ever mind.
All right, listen, Nancy, thank you. I want to move on. The point you made there about the lady sitting in line.
A lot of these women are sitting in line waiting to drop their children off. Their foot's on the brake. Kid walks between cars. The foot slips off the brake. Next thing you know, the kid's crushed. Now, you have a crushed kid on your conscience? Not me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Got about a minute and a half left in the segment. Should I take a call, Chris, or should I wait? Take one more call? Let me go over here to Candy. Candy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos.
Hi, I can't believe I'm on this show. I've never called a radio show in my life.
Thank you for calling ours. Yes, ma'am.
I'm on a cell phone. I know where this guy gets off telling me, a taxpayer, where the heck I can drive. And if he came up to my car, I wouldn't give him the time of day.
Well, ma'am, what gives you the right to sit there all parked in traffic, jamming up traffic so you can drop off your precious little darling?
I love the way you say your precious little darling.
Well,
you obviously don't like children.
No, I love children.
Derogatory way you
say it. I understand that your children are your children. They're not everybody's children. And your children may be important to you, but in the meantime, you may crush a kid. And then what's going to go on?
Well, guess what? I've been driving. I'm a grandmother. I've driven kids to school for years. I haven't touched anybody yet.
Candy, let me ask you to hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Should we be sitting in line, dropping our kids off at school and causing traffic jams? Because it may be a hazard. Jay Santos is telling people to get moving. 1-800-449-8686. Take your kid home and let him ride his bike. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Jay Sanis with the Citizens Auxiliary Police rejoins us. We're talking about school drop-off, the congestion caused by enormous numbers of SUVs and minivans and so on, dropping their children off. And Jay, you've talked about how school drop-off has congested the streets to the point where the public safety is at risk, that kids should be riding their bikes if possible. You say that if a kid lives within 5 miles of the school, that it's entirely feasible for him to ride his bike.
Absolutely, Phil, without question. See, one of the things you have to understand is kids are very healthy. Kids are young. Kids have a lot of energy. And I think many times we have the tendency to look at life through our own eyes. We don't see the child for what he is. And if we're an adult and maybe we put on a few pounds and maybe we've gotten lazy and maybe some of us couldn't even walk, you know, to the mailbox and back without getting winded and having serious pains down our left arm and shooting pains into your area and things like that. Kids can do it. Now, I want to play for you, Phil, if I could. I don't know if you have the time. Tape of us last May talking with some of the mothers at Kelowna Middle School that we were asking where they lived and when the parent indicated they lived closer than the 5 mile radius. We did tell them at that time then, please put it back into the car and. And
put what back in the car?
I mean, have their kid get back in the car and go back. And here's a little bit of, if I could play that.
Go ahead.
How you doing? I'm Jay Sanis, Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I want to ask you, where do you live? You live in Clare area here? I see you live within 5 miles. Do you have your child get back in the car, please? This is Operation Core Rescue, and what we're trying to do is remind parents that there's no need to be driving your kid, causing a lot of traffic congestion. Okay, would you do that for me? I'm going to ask you at this time to get. Is that yours? Have it get back in the car? Yes. How you doing, honey? Get back in the car. Did you take the child home and then you have a kid? Thank you. So that's just a part of the tape.
Was that lady cooperating?
She was totally cooperative. She understood 100% what he was talking about. So I don't know where these other people, where they're coming from.
All right, 1-800-449, you said to her, is that yours? I mean, it didn't sound like you were being the most polite guy in the world.
Well, Phil, we're talking about law enforcement. I don't have time to be polite. I'm trying to save lives is all we're trying to do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Iona. Iona, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
My question is, how can you ask a child to ride a bike 5 miles to school and back? That's 10 miles. And what age are you talking about?
We're talking about kids in grade school, middle school. I don't talk about preschoolers or kindergartners. I understand that. But, again, you have to understand, you and I, Iona, we're old and fat or whatever. And so we think about riding a bike. We just as soon have our eyes taken out with a grapefruit spoon. You know?
You're talking 5 miles. How much 5 miles?
How
many miles do you ride on a bike?
To you, that's a long way. To a child, that's nothing. Because they've got great health, great cardiovascular health, good hearts, good lungs, great musculature. So I think what we have to do is remember that we spent a lot of time sitting on our fat butts. The kids just still got some good health going on, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Maybe you ought to be the one riding the bike to work and back.
No, I'm fine. I'm simply trying to. Do you even have kids? I mean, who am I talking to?
Yes, I do have kids.
What is your name?
And I cannot believe that you are asking them to ride a bike 5 miles back and forth to school.
Well, first of all, I don't know if you read the newspaper, but we do have an overweight issue with kids in this country. Putting a kid on a bike, having to go 5 miles, working some of the fat off that parents like yourself, I don't mean disrespect, you stuck a lot of fat on that kid's ass. How's about if we burn it off?
Could you watch your language a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Could you watch the ASS?
I'm terribly sorry. Okay.
His ASS is just fine.
Well,
he's a perfect figure, okay? But I tell you what, I cannot. No, I'm just asking other parents, just other parents, not just myself. I cannot understand that you're asking children to ride their bike to school back for whether in the winter, in the summer, in the heat, in rain, in snow, in God knows what.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you right now, what part of country you live in?
I live in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, a lot of snow down there.
Jesus.
What are you talking
about? This is the whole country listening, okay?
Come on.
The whole country
let's get real. Let's get real here. They could put on their slickers.
You ever heard of a raincoat?
I don't believe you.
It is ridiculous.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe
me.
I'm talking about...
I can't believe that you even say that you're in law enforcement. You're not even a policeman.
Phil, understand that. I'm talking about kids riding their bikes.
Where are you?
These mothers, I got these mothers calling in and saying that they don't even believe I'm asking kids to ride their bikes. That's where we're at in this country.
You are a Burger King cop, okay? And that's what you ought to do is control traffic in Burger King. You have people quit eating so much, okay?
You
want to
know. You spend a lot of time at Burger King. I guess you know what they look like, huh?
Get
the French fries out of your diet.
Why don't
you get the French fries out of your diet?
All right.
Ladies like this, she's going to be sitting in line dropping her kid off. Her foot slips off the brake. She kills somebody else's kid, and she goes, "Oh, gee, excuse me, I was reaching for the supersize."
And how many children do you think are going to get hurt riding their bikes back to school?
Hey, kids used to ride their bikes to school. I don't know where you've been. Maybe, who took you to school? Did you take the bus?
I walked to school.
You walked? Oh.
Yes.
Well, what happened? You're
at
Burger King now.
All right, okay, look.
She used to walk to school. Now she's living her life inside of a supersized box. Good God.
You are extremely rude.
No, man,
you know?
I'm rude. You're the one calling me all kind of dirty name.
I have not called any names.
Iona, thank you. I got to get moving along. You know, you are being rude to a lot of people.
No, the lady said to me that she called me a Burger King cop. So I said to her...
I know what you said. You said to her you spend enough time at Burger King, you ought to know.
All I'm trying to say is that, you know, these...
Excuse you.
Forgive me, Phil, but I'm trying to say that these people are endangering the lives of other people's children, sitting there in line, dropping off their kid, foot slips off the brake, suddenly they're rolling over top of 6-7 toddlers all at once. You take your brakes in, you take your car in for a brake job, they pull the tires off, there's a kid stuck on it. I don't even know about it.
It's a horrible idea. You're right. Safety is important.
You're darn right. Safety is important.
Here is Katie. Go ahead, Katie.
Hello.
Hi, Katie. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm calling because I'm a teacher and just wondering if if he has ever been to a school drop-off. First of all, the children
do
not
step I've got a son. I drop my son off.
At least at my school, the children walk on the right. They get out of the car with an adult supervising and opening the door. They walk down a sidewalk. They are never in between any vehicles whatsoever at all.
Different schools do things differently. I drop my son off at school during his younger years. And I can tell you that sometimes
well,
the child...
Really
excuse me, I'd like to finish my comments. I'd like to finish my comments. Oh, well, we can't all be you, Katie. Some of us live in the real world. Now,
well, there you go again.
I live in Stockbridge, Georgia, and we handle probably 100 vehicles a day.
Where is
and
this?
And we haven't squished a child yet.
You lived where?
Stockbridge, Georgia.
Oh, well, that's a burgeoning metropolis. Jesus. Stockbridge, Georgia.
Where is it, Katie? Is it Atlanta?
South of Atlanta, just a hair south of Atlanta. So,
just a Scotia,
you know, it's amazing that I have yet in the city of Atlanta have yet to hear about a death of a child in a carpool line.
Well, you should read the newspaper a little more often, Katie, instead of whatever it is that you do.
I'm a teacher. Read the newspaper a little more often.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go on to Tina. Hi, Tina. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I want to play again.
First of all,
one of the tapes that I do have, Phil. And to that end, I'd like to play the tapes of what we do have.
Hello?
Okay, did you have a comment, Tina?
Yes, I do. I'd like to know how old he is.
What's your comment?
I'd like to know how old he is, because back in the day when we were young, you could leave your car door open, you could leave your front door open, and people wouldn't violate people.
Well, you can't be that old.
Nowadays people do such a thing. You can't walk down the street without people looking at you, barking at you, talking to you.
How old are you?
In this world today. Back in the day, you could.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
Wow, you were born in 1974, back in the day. What are you talking about, lady? That means you grew up in the 70s and 80s when you had to lock your door. New York was called Crime Central. You're nuts. You're nuts.
How old are you?
I'm 50, so I do remember what it used to be like.
Okay, you're 50, and
you
know what?
You could ride a bike.
Maybe you have some kind of temporary insanity thing, buddy, because the way the world is today, you don't let your kids walk to school.
Ma'am, first of all, I've got a son.
Guys like you are the reason why we keep our kids off the street.
Well, mothers like you are the reason why kids get run over.
Excuse me? Guys like you are the reason they invented condoms.
Well, brothers like you is the reason why I have to wear a condom.
I don't think so.
I think so.
No, because...
You know what? I got running around in my bloodstream because I met somebody like you.
Now, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, she's she's talking about condoms. I just said I have to double rubber it when I'm with a lady like
okay,
her.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
now
really,
you're
really
you're
sick.
You're as ignorant as you sound. If
that's
you listen
really
to yourself,
sick.
You realize you're ignorant.
You're the one that brought up condoms,
you're
and this
ignorant.
Is a family show.
Because back in the day, you could
back
do
in the
more
day,
than you
I was born
now.
In 1974.
If your car door opened, they wouldn't take your stuff out of your car.
Hold on. Can you hold on, Phil?
Go ahead, what?
Put that tape back in the car, please. Put the tape back in the car. Hold on for a minute. I got to...
What is he doing? What is he doing now? He's
an idiot. Who does he think he is? If he's not the parent, he has no right to tell anybody anything.
I'm trying to sense a woman on Phil's show. Could you get that kid back in the car with him? All right, now let me educate you, Tina, as to the reality of the world. You were born in 1974. In the 70s, the world was full of crime, so I don't know what world you grew up in. Number two, you crush a kid with your Vinny van on my watch, I'll have you out of the car on your stomach with your hands behind
you
your back.
Know
I'll hog tie
you. I'd crush you with my car on
you know
your
like
watch.
I'd like to hog tie you.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
in your case,
okay.
That would be an accurate description.
You're real intelligent.
It would be a totally accurate description.
Oh, you're just so smart.
Hey, let's go. You know, I'm going to rename it Tina Tie somebody.
Yeah, you know what?
You better
you
put her in a Tina
that.
Tie.
You know, that's
you
really
that.
Crude.
You do that, ignorant man.
Oh, you call me names?
Yeah, I called you an ignorant man.
You know, and I don't hit women, but if you were here, I'd slap you.
Oh, you know what? That makes you even bigger. You feel like a bigger man now? You
I don't
feel
like
a bigger man
I don't
now?
Like because, women.
Yeah, if I was there, I'd hit you with my car, buddy, and my daughter would get out of the car, and my daughter would probably tell you a thing or two, too, because she's a little more intelligent than
I'm sure your daughter would live, but what about the other six kids you killed on the
yeah,
way to school?
Okay, yeah, the other six kids. Well, then their parents should be watching them, not
hey,
you.
Sub-Commander Jones, Tina, tie that woman, will you?
Yeah, whatever, not you. We should be watching our kids, not you. You don't have
you
a
know,
say. They're not your children.
I want to say...
You want your kids to ride bikes for miles and miles and miles? You let your kids ride bikes for miles and miles and miles.
Mr. Santos,
that's
I want to say,
you, buddy.
I want to say, Mr. Santos, that you have denigrated this conversation to the level of insult.
What?
What do you mean, Tina Tye?
She's the one who said I had to wear a condom. At this time, I'd like to ask the host to hang up on this sow so it's, you know.
Hang up on this sow?
Excuse you? What are you, a racist?
Racist? That's a pig.
That's what I said, you racist creep.
Racist? Wait a second, how could I be racist if I called you an animal man?
I bet you're one of those old white men who
wait
they can just make all the rules. Huh?
Now I get it, you're black. I wouldn't have known
shows
it, you know.
What you know. Shows you what you know. No
Tina, I gotta go Tina-tie somebody.
The laws of any state are broken.
Hey, Tina.
Authorized
yeah.
Organization.
I think I got a little bit of Tina on my shirt. I better go wipe it off.
State police.
No,
state
you're a real
you
militia, the Rangers.
Or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I think I was a bad member and where
you
are.
You're being a real child.
Skill and courage have enforced.
Tina, I think what you need. So I would have had you raised. So in other words, if I called you a Razorback, I would have been. That would have been more politically correct.
I don't think so. Because I'm not black. So do you feel stupid now?
Say that again.
I said no. I don't think so because I'm not black. Do you feel stupid?
Well, wait a minute. I didn't call you a monkey. If I called you a monkey, that
would
have been racist.
Oh no! You already said. What are you black?
I said you're
racist. So I think you're racist.
Well, you're right. I am.
Yeah, I think.
Wait a minute.
You
are racist.
Yes,
one of those
I do.
Little white men who never
got
his way in life, who figured. All everybody in another race.
Look, I'll tell you what, I've got a reason.
Trying to tell people how to do things.
I got a reason to be racist.
Yeah, well, you know
I
what
fell in
do?
Love with a very
That's
fat, large black woman, and she took
That's
me for every nickel.
Don't take it out of the world.
Can we please get on with this conversation, Mr. Santos? We already played your theme song.
I'm just telling the lady. I fell in love
do
with a woman
kids?
Like her. Big and fat and black, and she took
do
every
you
nickel.
Kids?
Listen,
you
a sow,
kids.
A razor black, it's an animal. It's not a black person.
Look, stupid, we're on the conversation of kids. Are you getting back there or not?
Get it again.
Get this theme out of here, will you?
Yes, I do have a kid.
Yeah, you do. Well, you know what I feel.
And
really
his mother is African American.
Yeah, I feel sorry for your kid. And I bet your kid feels sorry for you. You're pathetic.
Well, my kid and
you're
I both
pathetic.
Still feel sorry for you.
You're pathetic. You're
Whenever
really, really pathetic.
Broken,
you're a sorry excuse for an American human being.
You're really making me angry.
Oh, am I?
Yes.
Am I? Well, then would you like to meet me somewhere and show me your anger, homeboy?
On the citizen. Look at my son's named Chicken George, and he's one hell of a dancer.
Yeah, Chicken George, just like his father, huh?
What does she mean by that?
I don't know, but this is the second time I played your rotten theme. Now get off of my show once and for all.
Bye.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show. Comedy gold.
Well, I think Margaret Graham is all wrong. I know everything she said. She makes a good advertisement, but not for people that need it, for handicapped parking.
Well, women who get their nail, do you use a thinner? Do you thin your nail polish?
No. I don't have it sitting around that long that it needs to, that it dries out.
Well, you really need to, are your nails chipping or cracking?
No.
They're not. Well, on natural nails, you do need to keep a clear coat. And so I have to have that for several hours, and that's why I need handicapped parking. Now, back in your day, I don't know if you worked or what did you do?
I was a nurse.
All right, you were a nurse. So you didn't really need to keep your nails good because you're working with your hands a lot, and I imagine they get coated with, I don't know what you're... If you got human feces under your nails or...
Oh, God, okay.
Well,
you know what I'm saying.
You are really sick.
I'm sick.
Yes, you are.
Because I asked for handicapped parking, something any woman should be entitled to, who is either on her cycle, and you know what I mean, don't you, Wanda?
Yes, I do.
All right. Wouldn't you appreciate being able to park close to the handicapped parking?
How do you... What good is handicapped parking going to do you?
You don't have to walk as far. You're able to have people help you by the arm. Wanda, can you believe that pig asked me to move my car? See, that's the thing that really bothers me.
No, yes, I can, because that is really disgusting that you would take up. What would you do if you seen somebody pull in?
Are you using a moisturizing cream or a lotion on your hands?
What would you do if you seen someone pull in with a grandma or someone that was handicapped, and there was no place to park? But you had to have that handicapped parking because of your cockeyed nails.
Well, no, what I would do is I'd say she's got to get in line like everybody else.
Why
are you saying I'm supposed to wait in line for her?
She said
of course.
Well, I don't understand that, because...
Look, and if a woman...
Well, it seems like you don't understand a whole lot of anything. It's just me.
If so...
I happen to be a fully credentialed member of the press. I had an interview today with the First Lady of the United States.
I don't care
do
if
you
had an interview with the devil.
Do you
it
think
didn't
that
give
that...
you any right to have a handicapped parking place.
Wanda, are you familiar with the devil?
No, but I know what he's up to.
You know, I think both of you could go straight to the living devil.
Well, she hung up, Wanda.
Well, I guess I got her goat.
Yeah, when you told her to go to the devil, I think that made her angry.
Oh, good for her.
Now, you were a nurse, huh?
What?
You were a nurse?
I was a nurse, I think. And
hold on for a minute. Ms. Gray, if you're going to hang up on me, don't call back.
Why is it still on the air?
What do you mean, why is it still on the air?
Whoever that is, who is that? Is that Wanda? Wanda.
Yes.
Handicapped parking is wasted on the handicapped. If they're so handicapped, why are they driving?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Be right back, baby.
Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight on our show, we're going to have Jeff Dowder with an Olympic report. The Olympics are over. Oh, well. We're also going to, on our program this evening, have a new movie review segment for you from Jeff Wagahusky. What happened to Doug Danger? Is Doug out sick?
Doug is sick.
Doug's sick? All right, so Jeff Wagahusky. Wagahusky. This cat's going to be doing a movie review, Skippy and Frank. And, of course, our regular plastic surgery feature, Sew Me Up So Tight I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, with Sheila Skelly and Dr. Jack Briscoe. New techniques on how to make yourself look ever so luscious. Tomorrow night on The Phil Hendry Show, it's Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Friday night, Ted Bell from the... Ted's of Beverly Hills Restaurant. Monday, Vernon Dozier will be with us. I want to also mention the Steve Bozell for President t-shirts, which are, they're really taking off, man. People are buying these. They're giving them away. They're giving them to strangers on the street. They're wearing them. They're burning them. The Steve Bozell for President t-shirt is 100% cotton. It's great. It comes in all the sizes, extra large, double extra large, fourple extra large. You can sew two together, man, if you're too fat. And they're only $8 million. And I don't know how much they are. They're very reasonable. The quality material that we sell on our website would necessitate exorbitant fees. However, we hold the price down because the stuff we sell, while it is very quality, we realize we want all of you to have it. So the Steve Bozell for President t-shirt's available now, limited edition item, and it says, Steve Bozell, 2004, vote for me or I'll sue you. Yes, vote for me or I'll sue you. The Steve Bozell t-shirt available at www.philhenryshow.com. A note about last night's show. We did a bit on our show last night whereby Jim Rome came on and then turned into an 8-year-old boy if he wasn't given enough cheddar cheese. In other words, he would come on with his Welcome to the Jungle theme, and the guy would say, from Los Angeles, the Jim Rome Show. And then Jim came on and started talking all the stuff that he talks, smack this and paddle that and slam that and spank this, you know. And then because Travis, who is his producer, we know Travis is a great guy, wouldn't give him enough cheddar cheese but only showed up with Swiss, Jim gradually reverted into his actual status, which is of an 8-year-old boy who's slightly autistic. Now, we did get some calls saying, what was that about? And I have to answer you honestly, I don't know. I don't know. It was an idea that my producer, Chris Pelton, had. I said, let's go for it. I listened back to it today when I got into the office on the website, which, of course, you can access all of our material. I listened to it. I went, that's too gone, man. It's too strange for words. In fact, you have the promo. This is Jim Rome turning into an 8-year-old boy. This is the promo for our show that will be airing on our stations as of today, I guess. Here it is. Just one moment, please, while Mark gets out of the chair and walks over. Oh, thank you. From Los Angeles, the Jim Rome Show.
I'm going to tell you a little secret about myself. The fact that I am actually an autistic 8-year-old boy, and the only thing that makes me talk like this is the enormous amounts of cheese that Travis feeds me. Right, Travis?
That's right, Jim.
Listen to Phil Hendry.
Hey, Duncan D-Town. How you doing, man?
Hey, Romy, thanks for the advice.
Okay, where's the cheese, okay?
Well, we're all out of the sharp cutter, all that Swiss.
I want a ham hamburger.
Or I'm going to become a more boy now.
See, there it is. That's it. That was from yesterday's show. I don't know what it means. I don't even want to know what it means. It was fun to do, but if you were to ask me, does it have any social relevance, the answer is no. I think I was just trying to appeal to people's prurient sexual interest, whatever that means. Aha, so you don't know what it means, huh? Well, not really, though. Therefore, you were trying to appeal to people's sexual interest, isn't it? Well, what's sexual about it? Well, I don't know, but if it doesn't mean anything, it must be sexual. Zell Miller was at the Democratic convention tonight. Zell, like me, is a Democrat, and like me, is going to vote for Bush. Now, a lot of people say that we're traitors, turncoats. He said something I thought was interesting. He said, what happened to the party that used to believe fighting tyranny was, like, you know, an obligation, a duty? I don't know. Then he turned and he sort of waddled off. Sounded pretty good. I remember when Zell spoke at the 92 Democratic convention, and he was there to speak on behalf of Bill Clinton. And he said, the election this year is a choice between an autocrat, an aristocrat, and a Democrat. Great speech. He was right, too, and I voted for Clinton that year. Now he's coming out there, and he's talking all that, to use the words of my favorite, my main man, Jim Rome, he's talking all that smack. He's talking all that spank. And it's getting some people a little tense. Now, as Cheney was talking, they hustled off either a long-haired college student or a middle-aged woman with a bad haircut. I couldn't tell. It looked like it was a female. Am I right about that, Mark? When you saw her, she looked like she was like Mothers Against Timbering or so. You know, one of these women with way too much time on her hands. So, and I don't mean to be cruel. Everybody has a right to protest, but when you get that close to the VP of the U.S., it's the Secret Service gets sweaty palms. They get nervous. You're bound to take a truncheon off the skull. You're bound to get tased. So anyway, he was droning on about something. Cheney's okay, but when he talks, I might as well be listening to a pit boss in Vegas. He's got that kind of surly bulldog kisser, like he's checking you out up and down, make sure that you're not palming some of the chips. But Miller, yeah, he had him rocking and rolling. So anyway, I read the paper today, and apparently the Kerry campaign is, you know, they're worried because there's some momentum now for the Republicans coming out of this convention. Everybody's hot. But I'll tell you something. Vernon Dozier hit the nail right on the head the other night. Everyone's hot for the Bush twins. They were charming and beautiful and all that stuff that makes you think naughty thoughts. And, you know, then Laura got up there. Of course, she's not making me think any naughty thoughts, but there are a lot of people who find her to be a very attractive and well-spoken person in her own way. Meanwhile, over at the Kerry campaign, they're sweating bullets over the Swift boat thing. Now, I sat kind of worrying about that. The guy did what he did, and if the cat would concentrate on talking about the issues like the healthcare environment and whatever the hell else he thinks is important, the guy'd be way ahead of the game, but they're playing this reactive game. They're playing behind the ball, as we used to say in the old football days, man. They're not getting ahead of the ball. They're playing behind the ball. They're reacting and responding to all these Swift boat guys who might not be that swift. Some of these guys might have taken one off the head. Who knows what these guys are about? Kerry says that this is a whole nasty campaign. I don't think it's hurting him. I think what's hurting him is the fact he's reacting to it. I think you got to just keep on keeping on, talk about whatever. Now, I don't know what the guy's got to say about anything. He talked in front of some veterans today, and he said, here's what I do differently from George Bush. In Iraq, I would have sent in better trained troops. Okay, you mean the guys we sent in weren't all that well-trained? He said he would have sent in the top troops. I thought the guys we sent into Afghanistan were like those throat-cutting Rangers. Like Delta IV. Isn't that the top of the line? I mean, that's state-of-the-art soldiering. Then he said he would have sent them in better equipped. And I don't know what that's about. Unless they could have sent in some super high-tech jeeps or something. Maybe they didn't have enough protection for the convoys. But then he said also he never would have equipped them in the first place because he didn't want to fund the war effort itself. So what's happened is, A, he's responded to the Swift boat guys. He shouldn't do that. He should be talking about the issues. But then, B, the problem is he's talking about the issues and he ain't saying anything all that swift because he's got Swift boat on the brain. For a guy that was in a Swift boat, he ain't all that swift.
All right, we get it. God.
What?
Oh, a Swift boat. Is that too swift? You gonna beat it into the ground?
Well, I'm just saying...
Just don't beat it into the ground. Hey, I hear Kerry isn't all that swift. Maybe it's because you're in the Swift boats.
I'm just saying...
I know what you said. Ha 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 ha. Woo! Man, that Henry, what a funny, funny guy. Good God!
Sorry.
Let's move on.
Tonight on our show, we have Jeff Wagahusky's movie review. We will also have Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, our plastic surgery special with Sheila Skelly and Dr. Jack Briscoe. Tomorrow night, it's Bobby and Steve Dooley, and don't forget... our Steve Bozell t-shirts on our website, www.philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
How you doing, baby? Yeah, that's right, it's me. Well, you remember me, don't you, baby? We left the big town together, baby. You and me. We're coming out west. We're going to be big stars. We could have had it all, baby. Yeah, we could have had it all. We could have reached up and touched the heavens. But instead, we got nothing. We got nothing. We came to Hollywood with big dreams. But somehow, we let them slip away. You remember the night, don't you, baby?
Sure you do.
How can you forget it? I remember that night, too. We were invited to the Fahrenheit 9/11 premiere and the party afterwards at the Penns. It's a big night for us, baby. You were dressed to kill.
You had every guy in the place looking at you, eyeballing you up and down and back wrapped down again and then back up again. Eyeballs go on some places that... I'll tell you what, if they weren't important people, I would have been mad. Yeah, we could have been at the top that night. We were mixing and mingling with the Streisands and the Penns and the Sarandons. All them people. And yet, even still, knowing all of that, when I stood there talking with Michael Moore about the documentary idea that I had about how, well, you know the idea, baby, the one I've been working on how the white man has destroyed the culture of the Native American. You let me stand there talking to him, even though I had one hanging out of my right nostril. Thanks. Thanks a lot, baby. So let me, I just want to be clear on this. You were too drunk to tell me I had a goblin hanging out a nostril, too? Mr. Moore wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the night. You know that, don't you? Oh, did you hear about that? Okay, good. He thought I was making fun of him. Well, in closing, baby, let me just say we could have had it all. Instead, it ends here, in a hotel room overlooking the San Francisco Bay. Goodbye, baby. I'm only kidding.
Letter to My Baby, produced on The Phil Hendry Show, written by Chris Pelton, in association with the University of Georgia, dairy farmers, and other people for Carrie.
Now, that's cool. That's out of sight. Letter to My Baby. So what happened? He had a goblin hanging out of his nostril? Well, that'll mess it up. That'll mess a guy's night up. And because of that, they're run out of town on a rail. That's the sad thing, baby, about this whole entertainment thing. Coming up later tonight, Skippy and Frank will pay us a visit. You know, Skippy and Frank, America's most ill-fated morning show. They've been fired from every radio station they've ever worked at because what they think is funny is actually unfunny and way, way over the top and lame. Also, Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, our plastic surgery show. We'll have movie reviews from Jeff Wagahusky. And I still got to meet this guy, Wagahusky. He must be something. We're also coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night, that is, Bobby and Steve Dooley. And Ted Bell on Friday night. I want you to go to our website, by the way, because we have two things that we still need input from you. I haven't talked about it because people will go to the website and they'll see them, but I want you to pay attention. We have two polls. Actually, not two polls. We have two areas of listener input. One of them you can access on a banner at the top of our website on our homepage. Which of Phil's characters would you most like to meet? Now, let me tell you, this is all leading up to something that's going to be very big. Very big. And you guys will be a part of it. Don't worry. Then, we're still asking for your feedback. We're still asking you to send email to Comedy Central on their the brazen theft of the very premise of our radio show. Hey, look, I understand that... You can't copyright a concept. In other words, a guy started, let's say, for instance, a guy is using puppets, and another guy starts using puppets. What does he say? You can't use puppets. I'm the guy to use puppets. No, you can't say that. But when you immediately start using the puppets and say it was all your idea, you know, then that's where it gets, you know, you got to give a little credit where credit is due. What's happened at Comedy Central is, and I would like a lot of you guys, because a lot of you have sent the same email. Boy, I really like that, what do they call it? A channel? A cable thing? A station? I really like that cable channel thing. I really thought that they were maybe, you know, like sort of on the sharper edge of comedy. Now I realize that they got no ideas over there, apparently, because they've lifted the premise of our show, that is having actors play characters that the audience thinks is real, and they've actually taken credit for its origination. In other words, they've taken credit for writing and they got some punk face doing the show. So in any event, it's no big thing, but we still have that link on our homepage for you to send off your comments to Comedy Central, and we've gotten a lot of them. And like I said, they're not going to change what they're doing. I mean, you know, look, if the show's a hit, and I can't imagine it being a hit. Do you know if this thing's a hit at all? I don't think, and I'll tell you why. It's tough doing what I do. I don't mean that for you guys to pat me on the back, but I know what it's taken over 14 years to figure out how this works. And there is a specific way of doing it. Very specific. You can't just come up with goofy premises. There's a way of approaching the audience and a way of presenting it to them. So when you lift what I do and you try to put it on TV, unless you know exactly what's going on in my head in terms of how I present the bit, you're gonna I'll bet you money the show sucks. I mean, that's what I've heard anyway. But I having not even heard from anybody who's seen it, I'll bet you anything the show is like very unfunny because there is a way of doing it so that the audience doesn't immediately just think you're a buffoon. Right? Now, if you lay out some crazy premise like Jay Sano saying, hey, man, you better, you know, make your kids ride their bikes to school because otherwise your foot's going to slip off the brake and squish a kid, there's a thin line between people thinking you're an utter buffoon and people getting angry and taking you seriously. And so, you know, unless you know where that line is, why are you yawning, bud?
I just don't know why you're getting into this.
So, in other words, you're bored, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I mean,
well, you know, you talked about it on the air, and that was fine. And why are you going back to it?
Because I wanted to let people. Is that David?
Yeah, of course it's David.
I agree with Bud.
Yeah, naturally. Why would I think that you wouldn't agree with Bud?
Well, no, he's making a point. What are you talking about? So Comedy Central lifted your show. So what?
I just want to get a little credit.
You're not going to get any credit, Phil. Guys like you and me, we're little men. Little men. We'll never amount to a hill of beans in this world. You're crazy, Phil. We're little men!
Oh, okay, man. Well, thank you, Lord Jim.
We're just little men, Phil. We'll never amount to anything.
Your Bud fading away in the door. Why don't both of you guys go take a flying leap? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. So in any event, go to our website. Well, never mind. I won't even mention that stuff, okay? We also got some new pictures up on our website. And as you know, all of our audio material gets updated just about every single stinking day, man. Every day we got something new going in there, so you can definitely access all of our audio archives for only $6.95. Thought I'd get the old cheapo plug in there for that. Monday night, Vernon Dozier will join us again here on the Phil Henry Show. And we are working on our Best of the Year 2004 CD as we speak. Well, not as we speak. As we speak, I'm sitting here doing my show, and Newman's sitting there staring at Chris, who's trying to work the board, and Chris Pelton is in there just staring at me. So we're not doing anything right now other than just staring at each other. But so when I say as we speak, what I mean is as soon as we get, well, maybe not as soon as we get out the air, tomorrow we'll work on it, okay? That's our Best of the Year 2004 CD. Coming up later on in our show, a dentist who doesn't need to use anesthetic, he can put you to sleep singing lullabies. Jeff Dowder, Brian Worsham, with some, we'll actually have dating tips from a convicted murderer, and also Jeff Wagahusky's movie reviews. All ahead here on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Is this Mr. Maynard?
Yes, sir.
All right. What am I supposed to do?
Just do it.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, bud.
Read the copy.
And now it's time for dating tips with Walter David Maynard. This is Mr. Maynard, right?
This is Walter David Maynard, yeah.
And you are talking to me from the Union Correctional Facility in Rayford, Florida? Okay, and why are you in prison, sir?
I was remanded for a felony murder.
Felony murder?
Yes, sir.
How long are you there for?
I have a life sentence.
And I'm supposed to have you on to talk about dating tips?
That is correct, yeah. I've written two books on social, you know, etiquette and everything, going out on dates and things.
Okay, what is that beeping?
Probably the prison administration tapes all the outgoing phone calls.
Okay. So I know that I'm being taped, is that it?
Mostly for me to know that I'm being taped, yeah.
All right, so Tell me about the book you've written on dating. Do you find it unusual that a man who is in prison for murder has written a book on dating?
At the time, I thought it might be a bit unusual or seen by the world at large as something that perhaps was out of their purview of understanding. But more and more as I worked on the book, I realized that it was something I think a lot of young people could appreciate and benefit from. And so I felt, because I did have the amount of time that I do have due to the mistakes, very grave mistakes that I've made in my life, that I would publish a book on dating and how a young man and young lady might be able to better facilitate their social life together. And with the help of our institution library here, and also with our chaplain, a gentleman by the name of Chaplain Jones, who has helped me immensely.
That's Herbert Jones, the guy that I spoke to?
Yes, sir. Chaplain Herbert Jones, who is a non-denominational chaplain here, has helped me understand a lot of the things that motivated me to commit the terrible crimes that I did, and I'm simply trying to repay society the best way I can.
So you've written dating tips, huh?
Yeah, this is a book that I think many young men and young women will find very handy. You go to chapter 3, this is etiquette on the date. When you take a young lady out, be sure to open the door for her, pull out the chair for her, be sure to...
What are the two capsules of Dramamine for?
Well, sir, I don't know if you want me to...
Well, I know what they're for, and I don't... How is that...
It's simply something... I didn't want to talk about that aspect of the book.
Okay. You know, I got to tell you something, man. You know, you got all this nice stuff about opening the door for the girl and pulling out the chair and then two capsules of Dramamine.
That is correct. But if you don't want me to talk about that...
All right. Let's get back to... So you open the door for her, you pull out the chair for her, and then what else do you do for her? I mean, aren't these things that I could read in any book on dating?
You could read these in any book on dating, but I would dare you to find a book written by a... three-time offender, multiple offender, who is now incarcerated for murder, first-degree murder. I don't think you could find a dating book by a murderer.
No, you're right. I can't find one of those.
Now, the next part of the book is basically when you take her home.
What are the NyQuil gel capsules? What are those? In other words, everything you say has this dark side to it.
I don't think it's a dark side, sir.
Well, look at man. You take her out, you open the door, you think that Dramamine capsules. Then you take her home and you say goodnight, NyQuil gel capsules. You see what I'm saying?
No, I could understand where you would misunderstand. You probably think that I'm talking about committing a criminal offense, but I don't believe that it is, because, as I say in Chapter 6...
Chapter 6, when you know she's asking for it. See, this is what I'm saying when I'm talking about the book that you're writing.
No, I think you've misunderstood.
How can I misunderstand it?
Because what we're saying is these are ways to help a young man become more, I guess, have access to...
Oh, look, let's quit screwing around here. When you know she's asking for it is the very chapter where I read about NyQuil gel capsules.
Well, maybe I could have named it something else.
Yeah, I think maybe you could have, man. And then we come to the final chapter of the book, chapter 19, when things go wrong.
Well, that's my favorite part of the book.
Tell me why that's your favorite part.
Well, because I think every young man needs to understand that not every woman is for you, and you're not for every woman. And that when things do go wrong, or when the date goes wrong, then you just have to kind of walk away from the situation.
But not before you drive the claw end of a hammer into the back of her skull.
Did I write that?
Yes, you did, man. You did write that.
Well, it seemed like... See, that made sense to me as I was writing a book.
And so you're really learning to pay your debt off to society, huh? Sitting in the library writing all these things?
Hey, you know, you got to do something. Let me tell you what. I got a advance order from two bookstores in Casper, Florida. They want to get 100 copies. There's a lady down there. She's a very nice old lady. Says she wants to buy up 100 copies just to help me out.
Oh, that's great. A nice, kind old lady, huh? What's she going
to
do?
Well, she says she's going to give them out to her friends because she wants to help out an inmate. And see, there are a lot of people who want to help inmates. And I think inmates are the number one minority in America who don't have any help.
Well, look, dude, when you're writing a book about, dating tips, NyQuil gel capsules, Dramamine capsules, and driving the claw end of a hammer into somebody's head when they don't like the date, to me, this isn't anything that's very practical.
Hey, let me tell you what. I've written a book. Can you say the same? There you go.
No, I haven't written a book.
But Rush Limbaugh has, and a whole lot of other writers. You know, a lot of guys on radio, you ain't done it, but I have. And that's a fact.
All right, anyway, thank you very much, Mr. Maynard.
Walter David Maynard, yeah.
Thanks for being on the show.
You bet. Can I give out the post office box number of the lady who has the book, if I could, Phil?
Go ahead.
Her name is Sarah Jane Betters, and she lives in Castleberry, Florida, and she has purchased 100 of my books. And she said she will give them away to people. And also, if you'd like a copy of my book, it's called Dating Tips with Walter David Maynard. You can send away for a copy of the book, care of a Union Correctional Facility in Rayford, Florida. And I'd be very, very happy if you would. And I understand what you're saying, Mr. Henry. There's some things in the book that people might not understand. I don't mean any offense by that. And maybe I'll go back and I'll scratch out that part and maybe write in a better part. You know,
yeah, that's why don't you scratch out that part and write in a better part, man?
Yeah, that's what I think I'll do. I'll just go and scratch it and write better.
Yeah, do that. All right, so if you want a copy of that book, by all means, contact the Union Correctional Facility in Rayford, Florida, where he's serving a life sentence for murder. What's that? Oh, yeah, I forgot, Chris. And if you're a pretty girl, send him a picture. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Later on tonight, movie reviews with Jeff Wagahusky. Tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley. In fact, Bobby and Steve will be on with me in just a moment to talk about their appearance on the show tomorrow night. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up in a moment, we have Brian Worsham building a home naturally. But first, a little flashback from our show. Chris Norton, a telemarketer with a pharmaceutical company, was on our show yesterday saying, why does he have to take down the erotic photos in his cubicle when women have pictures of their husbands? Well, that's sexual. Those are the guys who he says, quote, that are giving it to him, end quote, every night. Here's Chris Norton.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I would like to say what I need to say without being interrupted. I think that's just plain courtesy. I find that your line of reasoning does not make much sense. I have in my workspace a picture of a very handsome man. It happens to be my son. He is certainly not giving it up to me or anybody else right now.
But how do I know that?
You know, you're being rude.
Oh, my God.
You're being very rude.
No, how do I know it's your son?
Regardless of what you're saying, it is inappropriate in the workplace. Totally inappropriate. That is something, if you choose to hang pictures like that up, you put them in your own living space where it's not offensive to anybody. So you don't even have the first principles of courtesy and manners. You've just been so rude to everybody that's called in, and that is offensive in itself.
What did I do? The lady called.
It is very offensive.
Okay, but that lady said that there was no nude pictures.
Nevertheless,
in a trucking business?
You are exhibiting inappropriate behavior.
Okay, may I ask a question?
Totally inappropriate.
May I ask a question? Can I ask the lady a question?
I may not answer.
Okay, is your son, all I want to know, you say you got a picture of your son in your office. Is he butts up or something?
My
son,
it's a portrait.
Yeah.
It's a portrait of my son.
Of a baby, when he was a baby, butt up, or was is he?
I have a 20-year-old son, and it's
what
a picture of my son.
It's a 20-year-old young man. What do you mean butt up? You mean a naked baby picture?
Yeah, like they have...
Now you're being offensive and rude because that is not what I said. You obviously do not know the first principles of listening.
What's wrong with
it? Because you are not listening to anything anyone says. You have been interrupting people.
All right, ma'am, go
the
ahead.
Entire time.
Say whatever you want. I won't interrupt.
I've said what I needed to say.
Hit me.
You have no manners. You are not. A person without manners is unattractive. I don't care how hot you think you are. A person without manners is not an attractive person. A person who needs to put inappropriate items, whether it's in words or pictures, up in their workspace is a person who intends to offend.
Yeah, but you're
and
the one who said you had a picture of your son in a G-string. Why do you have
anywhere?
Why do you have a picture of your son in a G-string? I mean, what's that
all
about?
All I have to say,
what is
and
that
that's
about?
All I'm going
she
to
never
say.
Said that.
Well, she's intimating that her son is toned and tan. Hello? Hit me. Hello? Is the host there? Hit me. Okay, I'll stay. What? Yeah, I was on a talk show. I don't know what happened to him. Hello? Is the host of the show there? Hello? Okay, I'll stay, yeah. God, man, that's two in a row at 20. Yeah, I'm going to go hit the nickel slot. Hello?
Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Comedy Gold.
Hey, everybody, this is Brian Worsham, and welcome to Natural Home Building. Hey, tonight we're going to discuss, a lot of you have been writing in with your questions about cabinet making. We'll get to those, don't worry about it. And we're also certainly going to bring in some of the suggestions some of you have been sending in and building a really suitable place for you to relieve yourself. You know, we don't believe in bathrooms. We believe in using the great outdoors. That's where animals do it. Why can't we? So we're going to talk about all of that on Natural Home Building today. Being anti-timber as I am, I'm so anti-timber, I don't even like trees. I wouldn't use them to build a house. I don't want to be anywhere near them. That's how environmentally groovy I am. Can you dig that? I wouldn't saw a tree down to build a house. I wouldn't go near a tree. I wouldn't hug a tree. I hate them. I bloody hate trees. That's why I recommend building your home out of natural animal dung you find in the forest. Now, you can go out into the forest and find all kinds of different spores, stool, droppings, turds, turdations, and things like that. Out here behind my house, we don't have much other than raccoon crap and some neighborhood dogs. So, hey, why, you know, let's go for it, you know, because I don't live in the woods because I hate trees. See, that's the other side of being environmentally cool. Despising the very carbon monoxide that is, or carbon dioxide that is spit into the atmosphere by these selfish, rotten trees. If you go out and look for animal dung, you can build a nice brick home made out of animal droppings. And now living in it, that's your problem. But I can tell you right now, it's just as sturdy as any timber home. Tell you right now. We've got bear turd, deer turd, elk turd, rabbit to fill in the cracks. Also, if you want, you can use any squirrel turd. Squirrel turd's great for tile grout. If you want to build that bathroom and make it, well, like I said, we don't believe in bathrooms, but some of you guys don't, you go against the philosophy. Me, I dig a turd-lined pit out in my backyard, and that's where we go. Now, because we're environmentally sound, we don't believe really in kitchens. We just have a large pit with a bonfire going. In fact, you can build your home here on Natural Home Building in just about an afternoon. All you have to do is get some old leaves and just put them over the top of maybe some old tin shed that you find. There, you got a house. There, that's Natural Home Building, okay? Thank you. Hey, folks, don't forget, turtle turds are fantastic for putting a television stand together.
Right at 10:30, that baby of mine wouldn't let me in.
Natural Home Building on public television.
On over. Move it on over.
Or on public television? Well, that answers the question why I don't get paid.
Change the lock on our front door, my door key don't.
Now remember, folks, if you're lucky enough to get to the Outback, pick up some elephant turds, and they make great front porch pillows.
Move over, skinny dog, cause the fat dog's moving in.
All right, thanks a lot, you idiot. Jeez, Brian Worsham. Bobby and Steve Dooley join me. Thank you very much, Brian.
Okay, Phil. You want that book on wild game hunting?
No, I don't want your wild game book. Bobby and Steve Dooley join me now from Western Estates. Bobby and Mr. Dooley, how are you this evening?
We're doing good, Phil.
Hello, Phil.
And did you watch the convention tonight?
We did watch the Republican convention. We're very disappointed in Zell Miller, the former governor of Georgia, now the senator of Georgia, who is a Democrat and yet is speaking on behalf of George Bush. I think that it is entirely appropriate to look into having him committed.
Without question.
Why? Because he's talking in favor of Bush?
He's a Democrat, and he's speaking in favor of Bush. I think it's entirely appropriate to look into having him committed and having the papers signed as soon as possible.
That Why is he doing that? He must be nuts. Must be out of his mind.
Well, he's a I'm a Democrat.
Well, you know, you're only indicting yourself.
You must be out of your mind. Somebody ought to have you committed.
I don't think I ought to be committed. It's just, I don't know, man. You know, sometimes you got to just sort of think for yourself. That's all. Just think for yourself. Just go your own way.
So, to intimate that we don't think for ourselves, John Kerry has a very specific plan for helping America get back to who we are. For the last 4 years, George Bush has sent us off on a wild goose chase in Iraq. We don't know what we're doing over there. I look in the newspaper every day. I read stories. I can't figure it out. I read, Steve, what was I doing the other day?
You were looking at the paper upside down.
I was. I had the paper upside down, thinking, well, is this how I'm supposed to read? Because I don't understand.
Well, what? You don't understand all the big words?
Well, a lot of that, yeah. But what does it mean? When he says war on terror, is he referring to anything specifically?
I mean, well, how about 9/11? How about the 3,000 people that died?
Well, I mean, besides that.
Well, besides that, no, I can't think of anything.
See, that's the point. Other than 9/11, what's the big deal? So, I'm scared.
Well, let me ask both of you guys. I don't know if you're going to be talking about this on the show tomorrow night. Do you think Kerry's going to win?
I am really frightened.
I think Kerry's been in a lot of trouble.
Well, I agree. I think he is in a lot of trouble. I think it's because he allowed that Swift boat thing to sidetrack him.
Well, I don't think he should respond to that. I think those Swift boat veterans are all damaged. I think they're all pot-smoking, Agent Orange, polluted, brain-damaged men. And I think Senator Kerry should speak about the positive things that he did in Vietnam. Didn't he shoot someone?
Yeah, he did. He shot someone.
He should talk about shooting that guy.
I think the guy he shot in the back, didn't he?
So? So what?
Well.
So?
All right, okay.
So what?
All right, Phil Hendry Show.
So?
We'll be right back.
So?
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up later on tonight, we have still to come Jeff Wega Husky's movie review. And we'll also be hearing from Skippy and Frank. Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. Brent, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show. Brent? You there? Where is this guy, Chris?
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Oh, cool. I wanted to know if you'd do me a favor.
Okay.
Turn down the TV. I wanted to know if you'd do some voices for my answering machine.
Information, not your name.
Turn down the TV, sir.
You want me... Did you talk to this guy, Chris?
Hello?
Yeah, you want me to do what?
Turn down the TV, sir. I wanted to know if you'd do some voices for my answering machine. Because I'm a big fan of your show, and my friends and I have sort of an informal fan club for you. And if you do some voices for my answering machine... You know, my friends would call up.
Okay, so you want me to do voices, and you talk to Chris. You know what? Is that your wife or your girlfriend?
My girlfriend. Turn on the TV. Turn it down. So, if you would, I'd appreciate it a lot.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Just say, hi, this is Phil Hendry, and you've reached Brent and Sarah's answering machine. Stuff like that.
Okay. All right. I mean...
Okay, hold on for a minute. Let me get it. Turn down the TV. Turn it down! I'm sorry.
You know what, man? If you've got a domestic situation there...
No, it's okay. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
All right, hold on. Hold everything.
Okay, wait a minute. I gotta turn it off. Yeah?
What do you want me to say, man?
Just say hi. This is Phil Hendry. You've reached Brent and Sarah's answering machine.
All right. I'll go when you tell me to go.
Okay, hold on for a minute.
Information, not your name.
Hey, turn it down, will you?
Get her to turn the TV down, man, okay?
Sarah, turn it down. I swear to God, turn it down. I swear to God, turn it down. Okay, go.
Hi, this is Phil Hendry, and you've reached... Oh, I'm sorry, is it Brent and Sarah?
Yeah, it's Brent and Sarah. That's okay. Hold on, let me rewind.
Chris, in the future, let me know you're going to do this before.
Turn it down, okay? I swear to God, turn it down.
I tell you what, man, why don't you call me back?
No, it's okay. Hold on. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. Go.
Hi, this is...
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. Turn it down.
Dude, you got to get your stuff together, man, if you want me to do this.
No, I understand. I'm just trying to get my girlfriend. What are you looking for? The convention's on channel. It's on all the channels. Oh, my God. She doesn't know where the convention... It's on all the channels.
Information.
It's on all the channels. You keep chatting. Okay, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Go.
Hi, this is Phil Hendry, and you've reached Brent and Sarah's answering machine.
Okay, I'm sorry. Say, and please leave a message at the sound of the tone. Okay?
Yes, 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 fine. Go ahead.
Okay, go.
Hi, this is Phil Hendry. You've reached Brent and Sarah's answering machine. Please leave a message at the sound of the tone.
Okay, can you do it just one more time and maybe with more, I guess, sort of a kind of a smartass, or can I say that on the radio or anything?
I don't know what you mean, more smartass.
Just like more, turn it down. More, you know, like you're a wise ass or something?
Okay.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Could you turn the TV down, please?
God, I'm going to... I swear to God, man, I'm going to come to your house and kill her, okay?
Well, hold on. Hey, I swear to God, turn it down, because he's getting pissed. Okay, go.
I forgot what you wanted me to do.
Be more smartass.
All right, ready?
No, hold on for a minute. What is that? That's Animal Planet. Leave it there. Okay, ready?
What are you doing, man? Are you watching TV or are you recording me, okay? I mean, all I need to know is...
No, wait, hold on. That's Animal Planet. Hold on. All right, go.
Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You've reached Brent and Sarah's answering machine. Leave a message at the tone.
Okay, I got it. Okay, just one more time, and...
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, please, Mr. Hendry, we are big fans of your show. We bought all your CDs. So if you... I'd really appreciate it.
I'm waiting, man.
Okay, hold on. I got to rewind.
Information, not your name. Address of
250. Okay, go.
Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You've reached Brent and Sarah's answering machine. Leave a message at the tone.
See, I don't want you to sound too much like Fonzie. Okay. Oh, cool. Oh, cool. That's far out. Leave it there.
Hey, man.
Leave it there. It's cops. What?
Dude, are you watching TV? Are you recording me? What are you doing, man?
No, she just... Turn it down, will you? Okay, go.
Go what, man? You asked me to do it like... You don't want me to do Fonzie.
No, do it more like you, but more smartass, but not like Fonzie. Just minus the Fonzie.
Minus the Fonzie. What are you telling... Hey, Chris, I don't want to do answering machine messages anymore.
Please, Mr. Hendry, okay. Oh, this is the best one man there in Las Vegas. Okay, go.
I can't hear you, man.
Go.
Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You've reached Brent and Sarah's answering machine. Leave a message at the tone.
Okay, stop.
Hello?
Hold on for a minute. Is this the one your brother's on? Is this the one your brother's on? Is this the one your brother's on? Her brother's on this episode of Cops.
That's real great.
Okay, go.
What do you mean go, man? What am I saying?
Oh, just do it more like...
Get out of here! And I'll tell you something else, Pelton. The next time you put somebody on the phone that wants me to do their answering machine, I'm going to commit homicide. Hey, is this the one your brother's on? Rick, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yeah, Rick, go ahead.
Oh, this is Phil Hendry?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you talking smack about the president a minute ago on your show?
Was I talking smack about the president?
Yeah.
No, I was not.
Well, okay. Well, that's good, because... If you were, it'd be a problem.
I like the president. Who is this?
This is Rick. Are you sure you were the guy who's talking smack?
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. That's a rip-snorting way to get into the hour, isn't it? the Phil Henry Show. We have, why don't we get Jeff Wagahusky out of the way? Is Jeff coming on next? Jeff Wagahusky's movie reviews, because Doug Danger's on vacation, I guess. Later on tonight, Skippy and Frank and Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, the plastic surgery special that's got all of Hollywood a Twitter. Tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley, and Friday, Ted Bell on the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to bring on now Jeff Wagahusky with our movie review. And Jeff is recently graduated from film school at the University of Southern California and would eventually like to have a career in being a film critic. And Jeff, this is the first moment that you and I have actually met each other, because I know Bud was showing you the studios. How are you?
Very good.
Okay, are you going to do... Is he going to do it?
Yeah. Just let him do it.
All right. Here is Jeff Wagahusky with the movie review.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Welcome, everybody. Well, just as I predicted, The Passion of the Christ, 4.1 billion units. This is amazing. If you talk about how much money that represents, it's an enormous amount. But it's not even close to the significance. Does it mean that...
All right, wait just a minute.
What are you doing?
Excuse me, Mr. Wagahusky.
Certainly.
I need to talk to you, Bud, for a minute.
What?
What's the deal?
About what?
The guy's got a tongue that is so huge it's coming out of his head.
Right.
Okay, can you understand what he's saying?
I have to strain, but I understand.
Is there a reason why we're having this guy? It's okay, Mr. Wagahusky.
No, but can I help you with something?
No. We'll be just a minute. Can you get David on the phone?
Okay, you're just going to piss him off. Just
get him on the phone. Just a moment, Mr. Wagahusky.
Well, I have got a couple of puns about the bit.
I understand that, sir. Just...
All right, David's on the phone.
David?
Yeah.
This guy Wagahusky has got some kind of an oversized tongue.
Right. He's got a cow's tongue.
Okay, so what am I supposed to do with that?
I don't understand the question.
I can't understand. Does anybody understand him?
Look, what we're trying to do is make an effort at being EOE. In other words, you've heard about the Disabled Americans Act?
What, we're hiring guys with oversized tongues to do movie reviews?
Yeah.
You know what, I've...
Why are you stopping the flow of your show to bother me? Just have the guy come on. Is Bud there?
Right here, Mr. Hall.
Get the guy back on.
All right, folks. Sorry, David, I'm sorry.
Jeez.
And now it's time for Jeff Wagahusky's movie reviews. Come on in, Jeff.
Thank you, Bud, Bill. Hey, everybody. Jeff Wagahusky, movie review. 4.1 billion units have been sold past the Christ. It's a very big movie. That the hunt of the $19 million entailed on the birthday, the very birthday. This represents more than just an investment in a DVD. This is an investment in interest. This is the passion of the people. It's not just the passion of the Christ, it's the passion of the people. To me, it's more than a religious experience. Years ago, when I was first born in this country, and my mother and father were very religious, the mother did all the redeemable thing. But I then the mama bean, bubba bean, bubba boom boom.
Can I ask Jeff a question?
Go ahead.
I'm interested in that, but why do you feel that way?
Bubba bubba bean, bubba boom boom.
Oh, okay. I feel the passion. I agree with you in what you're saying, that it can't necessarily be 100%. Wait just a second. Do you understand what this guy's saying?
Well, yeah.
I don't understand a word he's saying, and you do.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
David's on the phone.
Oh, David's on the phone.
Will you quit interrupting and let the guy do his bit?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, everybody, the death bag of a baby, baby. The pattern of the type of the humble and lighting of the baba. Don't repeat the bump out. Don't repeat the bump out. Don't repeat the bump out. That's what we do. Hey, Jeff, love your
movie review. I wanted to ask you, do you feel that what Gibson was going for was historic, or do you feel it was more metaphorical?
No,
okay, that's tremendous, but again, I have to query, I do quibble with your assertion that Claudia did not exist. She is mentioned in a lot of Christian...
That's a good point, Jeff.
Little me.
Thank you very much.
Why aren't you talking?
Is that it?
Yeah, he said goodbye.
I didn't hear him say anything, man. I didn't understand a word he said. What do you mean, he's getting phone calls?
Yeah, it was a caller.
Well, I knew it was a caller. Nice way to set up the phone calls, bud.
All right, I didn't set up anything.
No, you had a friend of yours call in. I get it. Hi, Kathy, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, is there any way that I can... Does that man have a book out, or...
Are you getting your friends to call in?
No. No.
I mean, all of you, get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Wagahusky's film reviews will be back next week as the Phil Henry Show continues to try to be compliant with the Disabled Americans Act. The guy's got too big of a tongue. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have his phone number?
Anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Coming up later on tonight, it's going to be Skippy and Frank as they apparently tried to get into the Republican National Convention tonight to disrupt the event. And we'll find out what happened. Speaking of disrupting it, 11 protesters were arrested Wednesday on the floor of Madison Square Garden, the site of the Republican National Convention. The protesters were members of the AIDS activist group ACT UP and will face trespassing charges. They shouted and carried signs on the convention floor during a speech by White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card. A protester wearing a T-shirt that said Bush Global AIDS War stood on a chair pointing and shouting at the stage. One person on the convention floor tore a banner which said Stop AIDS, Drop the Debt from the hands of another protester. Security officials removed the demonstrators from the floor. That's a great country, ain't it? More than 1,100 people were arrested Tuesday in protests across New York, including about 200 demonstrators near Ground Zero. Police said that 1,187 people were arrested Tuesday in protests surrounding the Republican National Convention. Many were part of a demonstration by the War Resisters League near Ground Zero, where the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center once stood. Well, that makes a lot of sense, man. Go down to the place where they flew like two airplanes and killed 3,000 Americans and be like a War Resisters League? What? Huh? I'd join, man, if you guys had a more specific... Tell you what, can you send me some literature? What's that about? No war, no war. Even if they, like, flew the planes into the building, no war? Anyway, it seems like things are getting a little desperate. Meanwhile, police said they've arrested a man in connection with the beating of a detective in a protest on Monday night. Officers grabbed Yamal Holiday during another demonstration Tuesday night in Lower Manhattan. The night before, police said Holiday was in a rally outside the United Nations where a cop got the crap kicked out of him. Some cop was riding through the crowd on a motor scooter when he was attacked. Well, it's a rotten, lousy country, man, and I'll tell you what, the sooner we get rid of that George Bush, the more it's going to be very sweet-smelling and floral and filled with all kinds of e-ticket rides, man. Just get rid of Bush, and the whole world's going to return to the way it used to be, whatever the hell that was. Zell Miller, I guess, is really bugging some people, huh? Guy gets up there, talks about being a Democrat, and he's voting for Bush. That's got it. You talk about up the giggy with a Wawa brush. He also made a statement. He said, Kerry wants to refight yesterday's war. He said, we ought to be fighting a war today. There's nothing wrong with John Kerry, man, that like 8 more years in the Senate won't cure. All I'm saying is, I think the guy needs to get his head together a little bit. That's all. Nothing wrong with John Kerry. I think he's a great guy. I don't doubt, like I said, that he didn't serve his country honorably in Vietnam. But when it comes to running for president, don't you have to have a couple of ideas going? I mean, just anything. Just something kind of original, not... Well, let me see. Whatever it is that George Bush is saying, let me sort of just slap a couple of dollops of whipped cream on it. I'll throw a cherry on top of that, and I'll call it an original thought. That's what's bugging everybody. I thought that the Kerry was a shoo-in about a month ago. Now I think he's going to lose. But then check with me a month later, and you know, things will change. Like another month from now, I bet you I'll be thinking he's going to kick ass again. Yeah. I mean, you know, Bush is going to get the big bounce off of this thing. I like that convention bounce. What, has he been at a dryer all night or something? Why don't you throw in some convention bounce? Make your underwear smell good? So this cat is going to get the big time. Oh, God, not Susan Estridge. There she is. You know the thing that I don't like about Susan Estridge? She looks exactly like the older version of a girlfriend of mine. And sounds a little bit like her, too. In other words, when she'd call my house, I wasn't sure if it was my girlfriend or my dad. So he's got to get the big convention bounce, and everybody is going to, you know, be in favor of Bush. And what's happening is there's a little bit of panic going on in the Kerry campaign now. They're panicking. They are, as they say, beleaguered. They're getting all that crap from the Swift boat guys. And on top of that, if the cat had a really coherent message, it would offset all that Swift boat criticism. But, and by the way, has anybody heard from John Edwards lately? Is he even alive, or has he just evaporated? I mean, talk about a vice presidential candidate that isn't... Even Dan Quayle, as dopey as he was, got a whole lot of ink. Edwards is so, like, not even there. Where's he at? Is he... Hey, Edwards, man, you might maybe ought to stand on a shoebox or something, man, or get your hair coiffed even higher. Ain't nobody see you around here. I think Edwards has got all the... That's the guy that ought to be running for president, not Kerry. I got the wrong guy again, man. Just don't be photographed in any more of those spacesuits or in any... No tanks. No tanks, no helmets, and no tanks. I don't care if you were a Swifty, dude. Coming up, sew me up so tight I'm talking through a hole in my face, Skippy and Frank. Tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley. Friday night, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Monday night, it's high school teacher Vernon Dozier. And our Steve Bozell for President shirts, Vote for Me or I'll Sue You, available on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
What do you mean you can't understand a guy with a cow's tongue?
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Get ready, Sedalia. It's the Skippy and Frank Morning Show, serving the entire Cattle Drive area with 15,000 watts of full FM stereo rock and roll.
Everybody, Skippy and Frank here in New York City.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic.
We are loving it out here in New York City. Hello, New York. Hello. We're outside here in front of Madison Square Garden, and we're going to be talking about the Republican convention. What's that about, anyway?
I don't know. Some stupid thing to do.
But the people are here. I don't like the president here or something. I don't know. How do you elect the president anyway? I thought you were supposed to go and vote for him, huh?
No, I think you do it in a convention.
So they're electing the president right now?
Yeah, right in there.
Wow, I thought you were supposed to vote. You're always changing the rules and everything. That's stupid. That's so stupid. Anyway, tonight, out here in New York City, we're gonna get porno names for the Bush twins. That's fantastic. Hey, speaking of porno, we got Bud Hall doing traffic back there in Sedalia. Hey, Bud, I hear your wife, she says you'd never make it in porno movies, okay? You're a little underdeveloped.
Hey, Skippy and Frank, that's pretty funny. Hey, Skippy and Frank, right now in Sedalia, there's not much going on. There's cattle drive going across the I-19 freeway, and a couple of cowboys out there rolling them, smoking them as they have them, okay? This is Commander Bud Hall out here doing traffic on the Skippy and Frank Show.
Hey, Commander Hawk. Hey, Bud, you still there?
Yes, Skippy and Frank.
Hey, your wife was with us last night, okay, because you're not around. We had a party with her in a hot tub. What do you think of that?
Oh, you guys are so funny, you crack me up.
Yeah, and another thing, after we got out of the hot tub, we took turns toweling each other off. What do you think of that?
Oh, well, I better go check me and see what there's other traffic.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, when I left, I had to leave early, so I left Skippy there alone with your wife, okay? And when I got over to the house today, she had a big smile on her face.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Oh, God. You're killing me. You're cracking me up. Oh, the comedy, the humor, the timing. Woo! Man, you cats are great.
Hey, and another thing. When we were out there, we told her, we thought, hello? Hey, Commander Hall, where are you?
Well, he's not supposed to do that.
You're supposed to be on there for us to abuse you. Where are you? You turd? Commander Butthole's a turd. All right, anyway, we're here in New York City, and we're going to try to get passerbys to tell us some porno names for the Bush twins, the Barbara and what's-her-name.
Yeah, I forgot what her name is. What's the Bush twins' name?
I don't know. What are their names? Excuse me, sir?
What?
What's the Bush twins' names? I'm Skippy, and this is Frank. We're with Karen Pitts of Dahlia, Missouri.
That's great.
Huh? He blew us off.
Yeah, they blow you off in New York a lot.
I wouldn't mind a little bit of that after we got off the air, but on the air. All right, there's Skippy and Frank here. And excuse me.
Got money?
What's that?
You with the Secret Service, sir? You with the Secret Service?
Yes, I am. And you don't have to move along.
Oh, I'm not going to move along. We're Skippy and Frank. We're thinking of porno names for Barbara and Jenna Bush. Hey, you're at the Secret Service. When you were...
I told you guys to leave. If you don't leave the area right now, something really, really bad is going to happen to you that your family and friends will be very sorry about. Do you understand?
Oh, you can't threaten us, you Secret Service.
Bunch of stormtroopers.
Yeah. Hey, how about this? Barbara Boobies and Jenna Jumbos. Ha ha ha! What do you think of that? All right, Skippy and Frank here live in New York City. We'll be right back. We're talking here with all people in New York about porno names. And
I told you guys, if you don't move along, something really bad's going to happen. I'm with the Secret Service. Get your small-town, hick, bad morning show ass out of here. You understand?
You can't threaten us. We got lots of fans. Here's a caller right now. How you doing?
Baba Booey.
See? All right, we'll be right back with more the Skippy and Frank Morning Show.
Turn the music off. I'm warning you guys, I'm with the United States Secret Service. Get out of here.
No, we're not going to get out of here.
Okay.
What's he doing?
He's walking away. Where are you going?
I'll be back.
He can't scare us. Okay, let's go back to Commander Butthole now. Get a little more traffic. Hey, Commander Butthole. Anyway, your wife says that when you're around, there's so little of you to go around, they don't even notice.
Well, Skippy and Frank, with that very whimsical note, let me just tell you that we've gotten a little bit of traffic backed up in downtown Sedalia right now, and there's also going to be a chance that I...
Oh, no!
What's the matter?
That guy wasn't kidding.
Like the Secret Service called it an airstrike on Skippy and Frank, and not a minute too soon because I hate their lousy show the way they're always humiliating me. I'm Commander Butthole with traffic of the Skippy and Frank show. I'm glad they're dead.
Skippy and Frank are dead. What small market will they turn up in next? Stay tuned to the further adventures of the worst, lamest morning show in America, Skippy and Frank.
1-800-449-8686. Coming back on the Phil Henry Show, we'll have who we got coming up. Oh, yeah, we got the plastic surgeon twins, Sheila Skelly and Dr. Jack Briscoe on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know if you guys have been close to a television set, but a group of militants. Always, that phrase has become so, like, de rigueur. Has group of militants, and then, you know, dot, dot, whatever the hell they've done. A group of militants opened up an ice cream shop and gave away free ice cream. Well, it's, no, you're not going to hear it. A group of militants, it's more like this, because this is what happened. A group of militants with explosives strapped to their bodies stormed a Russian school in a region bordering Chechnya on Wednesday, corralling hundreds of hostages, many of them children, into a gymnasium and threatening to blow up the building if surrounding Russian troops attacked. Well, that's great. Isn't that great? Now, those guys need to, the Russians need to learn how to fight a more sensitive war on terror. This is the time to think about that. Don't go off half-cocked. What are you going to do? You're going to go in like and attack these guys? Are you going to kill them? What are you going to do? Well, you could kill children if you do the wrong thing. Well, that's true. That's true. You could kill children if you do the wrong thing. But that doesn't have anything to do with the notion, ultimately, of killing the militants. You want to save the kids, but if you want to blow the heads off of all of those militants, ain't nobody going to stop you. Well, what if you could save the children by saving the militants? Okay, I'll do that. Well, how do you know that that's not what we could do? So you want me to talk to them? Yes. Okay. Well, I assume that's what they've been doing now for the last 24 hours, and ain't nothing changed. As a matter of fact, some of these militants have been putting the kids up in the windows, holding them up in the windows as if to say, see, we got your kid, and we're going to blow them up. God, I tell you something. I want to join these guys real soon because everything they're doing makes me so sympathetic to their cause. I just want to so very much, like, be in total solidarity with them. They're just groovy. They're grooviosity. Blow up kids? All right! You know, get me on a good day, man. I might agree with something like that. But today, this ain't the day. Casualty reports varied why at least two people were confirmed killed, including a school parent. But an official in the command operation said on condition of anonymity early Thursday that 16 people were killed, 12 inside the school, two who had died in a hospital, and two others whose bodies still lay outside and could not be removed because of gunfire. Gee, thanks a lot, guys. All we're trying to do is drag the dead bodies out of there. And by the way, if it hasn't been made clear to you, I think taking over a school and holding kids hostage, good move. Real public relations move. Seriously, I'm dead serious. It doesn't matter how low guys like this sink, there's always going to be somebody, well, you know, they have their reasons. Honest to God, man. No kidding. Well, now, just look at us. You know, 4 years, what is it, 3 years after 2001, after 9/11? Now, we're sitting around, well, now, let's not be too hasty. Much of this was brought on ourselves. Why, we could have prevented all of this had we been more sensitive, more soft. What, should I have used more hand lotion? What are you talking about? If I'd used a chamois, if I'd wiped down Osama's butt with a chamois? If I had mopped his brow with a soft chamois from my local car wash? What are you cats? Are you insane? I mean, come on. We're all Americans here. We can talk real, huh? We've watched John Wayne movies. Let's go kick some ass. Hey, guess what I got today? Oh, God, this is great. And I want to, if this is for real, I want to thank the National Football League alumni for inviting me, and I'm going. And my program director, Robin Bertolucci in Los Angeles, she thinks I'm crazy. And Robin, we love you, but do you realize this is something that all broadcasters, when given the opportunity, must take advantage of? We've been invited to travel to Baghdad with a group of National Football League alumni to be with the troops on Super Bowl Sunday and the days after. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to do what we've always wanted to do, and that's be over there with the troops and tell them how we feel and bring over some of our CDs and maybe do a show. And I know Trevor here at Premier said to me, if you guys can actually get an invite, and this isn't Bud having one of his friends place a crank call to you. Bud, did you do this?
Right.
Did you have some guy call me claiming he was from the NFL Alumni Association?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I'd tell you. A friend of mine called last week and said he was President of the United States.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that really fooled me. Anyway, we're going to take advantage of that and go to Baghdad and be with the troops on Super Bowl Sunday. It'll be rad.
What's NPL?
NFL.
What's that?
National Football League.
I'm not familiar with it.
Nah, okay. It's the National Football League alumni.
What's that?
Those are the guys that used to play in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions?
What's wrong with your eye?
What do you mean, what's wrong with my eye?
It's drifting. One eye drifts.
Just never mind. So we're going to, I think that's going to be a great, and I want to thank the NFL Alumni Association for inviting us. And the guys are going to be traveling over there, among them, Jerry Glanville. Imagine sitting with that guy for a few hours. I bet you he never shuts up. It'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful, and we're looking forward to it. But some people are telling me, like my wife, well, do you think you should go? Well, what am I going to turn it down? What am I going to say, no? How can I say no? Well, you know, you could get hurt. Yeah, I guess I could, but this is an opportunity to actually say face-to-face to the guys who are fighting over there, you know something, I represent millions of people in our country, and you ain't been hearing from them, who support everything you do, man. And when you hear people say to you, we support you, but we just don't support the war, you know, I can go back to the States now and say to the American people that no, that the troops are not buying that line at all. I mean, I know they're not buying it, but at least I can hear it for myself, right? We really support you, but we just don't support the war. Do you think anybody over there buys that line? So we're going to get to go over there, say hello to these guys, do whatever the hell they do. I don't know what, there probably ain't a whole lot to do. Maybe I'll bring over some DVDs. Hey, Chris, bust into your DVD collection. Bring over some of that stuff we were watching last night. You know?
The German stuff?
Yeah, some of that German stuff you got. Bring that, and I'll bring some of my stuff, and I don't know, maybe if we can get up, if we can hang a, you know, like a sheet in a tent somewhere, have ourselves, we might even be able to charge admission. Poor guys. I'm going to bring over some of the CDs. It'll be totally, totally solid. It'll be a beautiful thing. All right, now getting back to, gee, there I was talking about our guys in Iraq. Well, anyway, those cats are doing a job. It's all right. They're doing it. Like I said, you know, it's going to be a while before people really appreciate what those guys are, what they've committed to doing. But, you know, Americans are, maybe we're not the smartest people, you know, from moment to moment, but ultimately we figure it out. Anyway, back to Russia, the Chechnyans. Now, this is a group of people I can only imagine. The Chechnyan rebels, this must be the most scarred, tattooed, surly group. I'll bet you that Al-Qaeda, compared to these guys, come off like Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door. Chechnyan rebels? You got a good look at that one guy that blew that theater up, all those people? Remember they had to lay the gas in there? Remember when they gassed that theater to get those rebels out of there to save the people? Half the people they saved look worse off than when the rebels had them. Anyway, those guys look like a real scum-sucking bunch. Now they've taken over a school. They're doing everything right that'll get me to join their organization. Take kids hostage and threaten to blow them up. Yeah, that's... But like I said, you know, there's some people who will look at that because of the times we live in, right? The times we live in today are so full of fearful things, things that people are really afraid of that, you know, we don't want to confront them, so we do what frightened people naturally do. They sort of put the blame on themselves, try to understand their captor. In essence, people that are like against the war in Iraq and the prosecution of the war on terror, you know what they're suffering from? We're suffering from a national case of Stockholm Syndrome. You know what that is? Stockholm Syndrome was identified after a group of people were taken hostage in Stockholm, Sweden, and were taken hostage for a length of time, and turned out they began to sympathize with their captors. They began to understand their captors' message. Patty Hearst got it. Well, the people that are like against the Iraq war and the war on terror, the way we're prosecuting, it's like these people are suffering from this enormous case of Stockholm Syndrome. They're like identifying with the captors. Well, they've got a message, don't they? It's, do you speak Arabic? No? Well, then I don't know what the message is, dude. And a lot of this we brought on ourselves. Yeah, hey, maybe those kids in that school brought it on themselves. Anyway, it looks really messy, really messy. Chechnyan rebels, do you know what it is they want? I guess they want to, like, break off from the Soviet Union and form their own country. Well, that'll work real great, won't it? First thing they're going to want, man, is a lot of bread to keep their little country going. Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to become a Muslim. What the hell? Everything they do is just so solid. It's just not... Being a Muslim today in this world, it's got so many advantages. Anybody disagree with you, just walk right in and blow them up. From inside the school, the militants sent out a list of demands and threatened that if police intervened, they would kill 50 children for every hostage taker killed. Yes! See, they're just speaking for the people, the oppressed people. And they would kill 20 children for every hostage taker injured. All right! So, let the killing begin, I guess. All right, tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Thanks for ending the show on a downer.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley, and we'll have So Me Up So Tight tomorrow night. We kicked Sheila and Dr. Jack Briscoe out of here because they were bugging me. Friday night, Ted Bell. Monday, Vernon Dozier. The Steve Bozell shirt's available on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell for president. Vote for me or I'll sue you. On our website, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.